With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which, as the leading voice on the policies and principles of open podcasting, helps build a world where the freedoms and opportunities of the medium can be enjoyed by all. Thanks for joining us.
I mean, literally, seriously, folks, this is a public service that we do, right?
It is. We are here to spread the freedoms and opportunities of podcasting.
If you believe in podcasting and things, then you support our mission to support your mission to understand the world around you.
We're really, I think, the leading voice in our mission to support your mission.
Yeah. If we can leverage things across platforms
and the opportunities
and engage with synergies.
Producer Rich dug deep.
He did.
Oops. This one's good. By taking this from the about page of the Open Source Initiative, which, by the way, if you're into this kind of thing, has this same mission statement in like 10 languages.
Which is
kind of awesome.
Open access. Like, oh, you don't speak this language? No problem.
Yeah. Got some Cyrillic. Got the Arabic translation. Swahili.
Yeah. Awesome. Which one do you want to read?
Yeah. Save it for the
Open Source Initiative.
Exactly. I was looking at the Swahili and I was like, nah, that's going to go bad.
Informatia.
But we can have the Zijndevertegon and Borgedigers.
Where's my Hangul at?
The Dutch.
No, it's not on there. What?
Our usual meandering entrance into Thinglandia. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Yes, and I would like to apologize to all of you for giving Molly bad advice and depriving anyone who isn't a patron from our take on Adam Levine last week.
Because, wow. So here's what happened, everybody who's not a patron and didn't get the bonus content. I was like, all my mom friends are talking about this Adam Levine story. This is crazy. But do you think it's one of those things that's only going to be a thing for like today? Because no one really cares that much about Adam Levine.
I was using my measurement of, I see people reacting to other people talking about it, but I don't see people talking about it. So I feel like it's probably going to flame out. Boy, was I wrong.
Wow. Did it not flame out? I believed you. Just to be clear, this is not a scenario where I was like talked out of a deep belief.
No,
I was like, yeah, it's probably this is, like, who cares? It's just Maroon 5 or whatever.
It was on the fence, right? We were both I feel like it's probably going to burn out. So maybe do something else. We'll just talk about it in the pre-show. Man. Yeah.
We forgot. You know what our mistake was? And maybe it's age. I don't know. We forgot about the power of the visual. Because the lady had screenshots.
Yeah, receipts.
And the screenshots were of hilarious text messages that could be repurposed for almost any topic. And they were. Mm-hmm. But as the week went on, it was just like everywhere you looked, there was a new person using the screenshot of Adam Levine's like creepy text about how hot this girl was to talk about the weather or spicy chicken. Any number of things.
It is truly unreal how effing meme-y this got. Exactly. Like it blows my mind.
Just went on and on and on. Exactly. As Affie James points out in the Discord, the act itself, who cares, right? Like nobody cared. But the memes and the screenshots as memes, just wow. So we would like to acknowledge that we knew and we didn't do anything about it.
I've started to see people talking about whether it's real or not, right? And other people like, I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm not mad. I'm just enjoying the fun.
Exactly. Right? Like, don't ruin this for me with like real world questions. Just let me have the memes. Let me have this.
I wonder how much I'm allowed to say here. I know someone sort of tangentially connected to the Levines. Who said the reaction was like, yeah, we'll get through it.
Oh, really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yuck. Okay. But now I looked up some memes and they're so funny. My laptop.
Which could either be yuck. It could be yuck. Very well could be yuck.
It seems like yuck. That seems like a yuck response, is it not?
Or it could be, yeah, we both know all of this is fake.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're just weathering the storm of, yeah, can't tell.
Right. Like,
not close enough to be able to tell.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking a robust Cabernet Sauvignon. Holy F. Holy effing F. That body of yours is absurd. It's just, yeah, that's amazing.
Well, right, we're not promising to have you naked by the end of this episode, but we do have things.
That's all that matters. Exactly.
Hey, have you ever heard OTP or One True Pairing?
No. But I want to.
One True Pairing arises from shipping. We've talked about shipping, right? When you you ship a couple of celebrities or characters or something. One True Pairing is usually, it has its roots in fictional relationships. So, you know, Twilight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where a fan most supports these two characters getting together, the OTP. John and Egret will forever be my one true pairing on Game of Thrones, for instance. Right?
Yeah.
This is not new. It's not brand new, but it's out there. And I would like to thank my cousin who constantly refers to me and Eileen as her OTP.
Oh my God, that's so freaking cute.
The original OTP.
I am going to start calling everybody OTP. That's so adorable. Not everybody, actually. No, I'm going to start selectively using that.
I don't know if the Levines qualify anymore.
Very, very, yeah, exactly. I guess we're about to find out, aren't we?
Yeah, maybe they do. I don't know.
Maybe they do. Oh, that's lovely, OTP. I wonder where that came from. Like, shipping was obvious in that it was an extreme abbreviation of, like, I would like these two to be in a relationship.
Yeah. One true pairing.
I don't know
where the origins come, but it comes from that meme internet culture of, you know, coming up with an extreme, maybe extreme is too extreme of a word, but with a dramatic name for something.
Yeah.
Like in K-pop, if there's seven members, you say, and you don't want to pick a bias, you don't want to pick someone that's your favorite, you say, I'm OT7. One true seven, which I think is related to OTP, one true pairing. So it's that sort of like, no, John and Egret, they're the one true pairing. Everything else is, you know, yeah.
I love this. The Urban Dictionary entry on this is the only nice thing I've ever seen on Urban Dictionary.
Wow. That's a good litmus test. Yeah.
At all. And evidently, I have learned, by the way, another thing. So I'm just throwing in a sub thing because I never heard it.
Oh, okay.
But at least according to Urban Dictionary, Klaus and Caroline, they say, you know, quote unquote, invented the OTP because apparently Klaus is a sort of a slang word for, no, just like a very charming young man.
Oh.
He's a Klaus.
Oh.
Apparently. And a Caroline is... an intelligent, beautiful, funny girl.
Huh.
Who's also like a human underneath.
I swear these
Klaus and Caroline are the shorthands for the perfect people. So Klaus and Caroline are the OTP.
Klaus and Caroline are characters in Vampire Diaries.
Oh, they are? So then that became shorthand for these perfect people?
Uh-huh.
Whoa, it must dude. Have. We are going through the layers.
Hmm.
This is thing archaeology right here.
Thing-chaeology.
Thing-chaeology. Oh, that's amazing. Well, I will say that I am still looking for my OTP, mm-hmm. but I've been on a number of side quests.
Lovely. That's kind of in the family of one true pairing of OTP, the side quest, using a game term for real life.
It totally is. Like, that couldn't be. I'm telling you, I'm going to say this again. We do not plan this. But my first thing today is side quests as used in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously everybody's familiar with side quests in a video game. There's like your main storyline, and then there's the stuff you go off and do on the side to collect extra points or, you know, for whatever reason. And evidently, people have started using this as slang for just sort of generally being like, off the rails, or I don't know what you're up to, or mm-hmm. why are you always dating the wrong guy, or whatever it is. I think my son brought it up in relation to some celebrity, and he was like, God, he really is on a bunch of side quests, isn't he? Or like, maybe his whole life is just a side quest. Evidently, I think somebody used it in reference to Kanye.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he's on a lot of
side quests. That guy does a lot of side quests. I get that.
He does a lot of side quests. Exactly. And it's even in, and I was so happy, Urban Dictionary. So it can occur a couple ways. One is like when you and your friends go out,
yeah,
and you don't really have a plan, or you go to the bar and then you have a bunch of side quests after.
Yeah. You go to the bar for the birthday drinks, and then after the birthday person leaves, then the rest of you are like, well, let's just do some side quests.
Right.
Yeah, I get totally. That one makes perfect sense.
That makes perfect sense. And then there's this just kind of being sidetracked or distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
By whatever it is. And it can, and actually they have this kind of deep definition, which is becoming obsessed with an object or person because you irrationally believe that it will somehow be to your benefit later.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
It's that classic thing where like an actor is really good at, let's say, comedy, but they want to be a dramatic actor. Mm-hmm. Some can do it. We've seen it over and over again. But for some, trying to be the dramatic actor is a bit of a side quest.
In fact, when I asked my son about it, he said, like when Michael Jordan decided to become a baseball player.
Perfect example. Like, good example. So perfect. Yes.
So perfect.
Right. Like, yeah. You don't know.
Side quest.
Maybe it could have worked out, but it's unlikely. If it's a side quest, it's unlikely.
Exactly. Could be fine. Yeah. But it is secondary to your main, the main game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love this. Going to use it all the time.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I want to mention my second thing just to get it in the record. I do this a lot. I've been doing this a lot lately. I don't even think it's a thing anymore, but it was a thing last week. And I was seeing it everywhere, which is Trombone Champ.
Thank God you brought this today, because I have seen this go by in my feed a couple times, specifically today, while I've been scrolling past it to get like updates on the hurricane and Russia and stuff. And then I'm just like, what is with this cartoon? And then somebody was like, something piece of metal, I don't really know. So please help me understand why this has popped up in the middle of all the Russia and hurricane.
The why I can't help you with. I can certainly explain. Mm-hmm. Trombone Champ is a silly rhythm game a la Guitar Hero. Except except unlike Guitar Hero, you only have one instrument you can use, the trombone. I guess Guitar Hero, you mostly use the guitar, but then there's the, you know, you can do the drums, the bass, rhythm. Trombone Champ is a Steam game. It's on Steam, and it's not from Steam. It was developed by a company called Holy Wow, but it's just a little like silly karaoke style game where you control a trombone player, and it's even got limited songs. Like, you're talking about O Canada and God Save the King and Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and I think that's part of the appeal, is that it's very silly that it's a trombone, and it's really weird, like, public domain songs.
Wow. And that's it, and it worked, and it's everywhere.
Yeah. And so everybody just thought it was hilarious to share their videos of them playing Trombone Champ, because they are kind of funny. You know, like, people don't do well, but because it's a trombone, it sounds funny.
Also, I'm just going to go ahead and speculate that part of the reason that this may have caught on and become hilarious to many is that on top of all of what you just said, there's also 50 tromboner cards to collect.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Hilarious name and a collectible. People like to collect stuff.
Oh my God. This is so rando. Oh, bravo. Bravo. Wow. Okay. There you go. Noted. And thank you.
Trombone champ.
Yeah. Truly, it was just like,
it's a Steam game. That if you've seen, like, why is someone sharing them playing the Spock Zarathustra on trombone badly in a video game? It's that.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing. The internet is a strange, strange place, but you never know what's going to hit. That's why, like, go ahead and make every idea. Right?
Do
like,
it
doesn't have to be Fortnite. Sometimes it can be Trombone Champ.
If you're like, what if I did Guitar Hero, but with trombones and only public domain stuff to keep the cost down?
Yeah.
The answer is hit.
The answer is hit. And like a boner joke. Like, boom.
No, top game on Steam.
Done and done. That's incredible. Well, this next one I've had a bit of a drama with over the past few days.
Oh, really?
But
did you get this?
I didn't.
Okay. I think someone I'm circling did. Around what happened. Go ahead.
Okay. So it is a freaking thing to get a painted buzz cut.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a buzz cut, regardless of your gender, and then you dye in painted designs.
This feels like a natural extension of shaving a number or a pattern or something into your buzz cut or your fade, totally. Right? Yeah. Okay.
And it's not even particularly new, actually. Like Dennis Rodman was doing this.
Oh, right.
In the 90s when he played for the Bulls.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, right around that same time when like, oh God help me, like the first Batman movie or something came out, my brother did this. My brother had this really white, like white blonde hair naturally his whole life and got a buzz cut and then had a bat, like a black bat stenciled into the back of his head. And then we went on this trip to Yellowstone and like tourists, flocks of tourists were following him.
Oh, wow.
Taking pictures of this big bat on the back of his head. So this like actually somewhat 90s thing is totally back and people are dyeing these like beautiful, super cool designs into their shaved heads, into their buzz cuts.
Very
and there
cool.
was, in fact, on the Versace catwalk in New York Fashion Week, there was a guy who had a really cool like leopard print.
Oh, I do not need to see the pumpkin, Jack the Pumpkin in the back of your head, though.
Oh, creepy. Yeah. No, creepy.
I like the, what is this? Claudio Barbetti Domina hair. It's like flames and blue and stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
The flames are beautiful. I mean, it's really impressive, like super cool design.
Spider web's pretty good. I like that one. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to say too much. I'm only going to say that we did that. And then there was some peer pressure. And then we had to dye black and we couldn't go to school. So just proceed with caution vis-a-vis this trend.
I see.
But it looks really cool.
Yeah.
If your friends don't suck.
Did you get pictures?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I did. Yep. I'll send them.
Okay. Them to you. Good.
It looked amazing.
Maybe that's what I'll do next time.
Incredible.
Where do you find a person? Do you have to just find a barbershop that does it or?
Yeah. I mean, my hairdresser did it.
Yeah.
Like he does. It's a whole long story, but he lives in Costa Rica most of the year. So then he comes and does it.
It's like finding the nail shop that does the nail art. You want to find the shop that does the nail art, not go into any random shop and be like, sure, I guess we could do that. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You don't really want to like mess with it, but super, super cool.
Painting designs in your buzz cut.
It's a thing.
The cactus one from Ambassador Domo. That one's nice.
Yeah. Like it really is legitimately. I just got to go with Rodman on this one, but it's everywhere. It's fascinating. Looked so good.
I'm trying to decide what I should get.
Yeah, because the flames are cool.
Mm-hmm. I like the sunset.
The sunset's nice.
Yeah.
You can still go. There's a guy with a bright red spider web. And then people get clever with it. Like somebody did a chessboard and then left dreads. Sticking up for the chess pieces.
That's good. I like that.
It's so good.
Hey, the picture that you shared in Discord looks good.
I agree. It's gone now.
These things happen. Let's move on to your things then. Feedback at itsathing.me is our email address, and we got a thing check on Isle Morgan. Hi, Rich Tamale. I love this for so many reasons. First, Tom Molly. You know, lots of you know that one from way back, but Rich Tamale would be kind of a delicious, delicious Rich Tamale. I've never seen a higher velocity thing explosion than the all-consuming consumables that are butter boards.
Seriously.
Apparently set in motion by Justine Snacks in mid-September, the giant smears of butter with all the fixins from cardamom and honey to chilies have taken over my Insta, or at least my algorithm, and seem to have dethroned charcuterie as the quickest way to ingest your annual cholesterol budget in one simple and tasty sitting. I think it's the perfect overlap of horrifying and ashamedly tempting that make it the perfect thing explosion. Now, if they could only jam this into a snackle box... Also, capsule wardrobes are what happens when the Garanimals kids grow up and become clothing execs. Love the show, Morgan.
Amazing. So I would like you all to know that I arrived at the spreadsheet today, our rundown, and was about to plop in butterboards. And I saw this email and I was like, okay, it's covered. Because wowie, wowzer, wow. Is this a thing-a-ding?
I think a sub thing is just my algorithm or real. Yes. And what Molly's saying is, Morgan, not just your algorithm.
Not just your algorithm. It's everywhere. And you know that it is everywhere because, of course, New York Times Cooking already stole it, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the clincher.
And incredibly, literally today, CNET published an article. What's a butterboard and why is everyone making them?
What is up with CNET? Doing
super on trend,
trendy stuff all the time. Yeah, I know. I'm not complaining either. I'm just like, that's not something we were allowed to do.
I know, right? We didn't just get to do like internet culture stuff. Yeah. I know, but no, they're right on top of it. It's kind of great because it's like no paywall. Like, I'm always like,
yeah, smart move.
But yeah, the butterboard hit hard exactly this week, Morgan. Like, you are right on the money.
Well
here.
Done, Morgan. Thing check confirmed.
Bravo. Matt Bat might have a new beverage thing. Mm. I have loved ginger beer for many years, and I love how it's that special kind of spicy. In the past, there was usually only one imported brand next to the Jamaican soda in my supermarket, but last week, there were at least 10 brands of ginger beer in the soda aisle, and some had hipster names. I don't think the Publix website even lists all the ones I saw. I wish I had taken a picture. Additionally, I found an artesian ginger beer brewer. While on vacation in Asheville, that was really hard to say, by the way, in Asheville, North Carolina, called Ginger's Revenge. Unfortunately, I found them on the last day of my vacation and could only fit one 6-pack in the cooler. Is this that Bider Meinhof thing that Tom is talking about? Love the show. Feel free to paraphrase my email if you decide to read it on the show. If you can make me sound smarter, though. Actually, I just made myself sound super dumb because I tried to say something like artesian ginger beer brewer.
You were smarter than us, Matt Bat. It's all
you
good.
You are smarter than we are. And now I have to look everywhere for all these hipster ginger beers.
I would like, Matt Bat needs assistance here, right? Because I think Matt Bat's on to something. If you suddenly see your ginger beer brand count multiply like that, something's up. So we would like some secondary confirmation from around the world. If you also have noticed higher numbers of ginger beer brand availability in your local Publix or any grocery store, by all means, Giant Eagle, Schnucks, Ralph's, Safeway, wherever you see it, send it to us. Feedback at itsathing.me.
Please do. I will be typing into DuckDuckGo CNET ginger beer. And if they have an article on it, apparently it'll be.
It's good check.
It'll be a thing.
Because I think you're onto something, Matt Bat. I have not noticed it myself, but I also hadn't been looking. So I'm
going to
look.
Yeah. And now I'm going to. Absolutely.
Peter, just outside of lovely Toronto, Canada, not Hamilton, says closed captioning is a product differentiator. Dear RTM.
Oh, amazing.
About the closed captioning on televisions, my son, who is now 20 years old, has been using them for at least 5 years. Now it is the default on all our streaming services, on all our TVs, to have closed captioning. One thing I will add is that I bought another Apple TV for a television that already had Roku built in, not for the apps, but for the better closed captioning bars. I hate the deep black bars that some services and TVs use that block everything behind them. If I have to watch things with closed captioning on because the rest of the family likes it, I want the subtle gray semi-translucent bars that Apple TV has.
That is incredible. Caption mm-hmm. design. Mm-hmm.
It just works.
Incredible. Oh, God.
You know, I think I'm getting old because sometimes we have captioning on for subtitles and then we'll watch something that is in English and it bothers me. Even though they're in English, I'm like, yeah. I just end up, I'm like, I'm reading things instead of watching the show, but I'm stuck in my ways. So.
Yeah. I'm still doing it. I've made the turn.
Yeah.
Lon Koenig writes in, tweeted us and said, is boots with bows a thing? Saw groups of girls wearing chunky boots with girly ribbons for laces. Doc Martin sells these ribbon laces.
I see.
Boots. If Doc Martin is selling it, I'm going to go with yes, for sure. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I think you answered your own question there, Lon, for sure.
That is so cute.
Boots with bows make a great song name.
Right? There's something really appealing about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Joe Hood with a few thing checks says, hello, my brother and sister in things, brothers and sister in things. Would you indulge me in a couple of thing checks? Well, I will. Molly, will you?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
First, are classic murder mysteries a thing? Ensemble with big names, whole movie resolves around the big brain detective figuring out through character and a smidge of action. It seems like we've had a bunch in the last year. Knives Out, See How They Run, and Death on the Nile.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. I think we have seen a lot of that.
It's a movie
and there's
trend.
There are some British detective shows that seem to be making a comeback as well.
Okay. Yeah. So, and these are popular, right? It's one thing if Hollywood makes a bunch of them and everybody's like, yeah, we still don't want to watch that. But these are being watched. People like these. So, I think you're onto some. Second, what I call, is it a thing or just my algorithms?
Oh, my God. Did we or did we not just say that?
I have been seeing lots of content on breaking down large chunks of meat called primals. Is this just me? Or is it a thing? I assume it is related to food price increases, but it could just be the internet going, you like swords? You like cooking? What if we show you something that's a little like both? Are other people seeing an uptick in butchering content?
Wow. Nope.
No. But
I am not.
We call upon the people of the world to gather their things at feedback@itsathing.me. If you are seeing primals, AKA breaking down large chunks of meat.
Exactly. You may be on that algorithm train. I personally am not. That is incredible.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a subculture that the algorithm just finally included you in, or if it's breaking out and that's why you're seeing it.
Wow. That's fantastic, though. Love it. Let us know. Let us know what your algorithm is delivering to you today. Mm-hmm. All right. It is time for the best, arguably the best part of the show, the shout outs. Those of you who support us at the shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing are featured week after week in custom handcrafted artisanal shout outs. Actually, in this case, artisanal, artisanal, artisanal shout outs. There's a difference. One is appropriate to beverages and the other is not. This week's shout outs are based on Pitchfork's review of the 2011 Metallica Lou Reed album Lulu, which they gave a 1.0 out of 10.
So many good things coming together. A snooty Pitchfork review that is trashing the album and the unusual pairing of Metallica and Lou Reed in 2011.
I mean, like, I'm loving everything about this.
This is great.
All right, I'll begin.
Please do.
It'd be one thing if Gabrielle Cohen were being slipped into the marketplace as a low-profile curiosity, akin to a 90s-era spoken word album with some Joe Hood screeching away in the background. Instead, it's being trumpeted by its makers as a historic event. In a now-infamous interview, Louis St. Amour recalled bursting into tears of pride during the recording sessions, while in another, Mike Akins grinningly insists that James C. Smith has pushed me to be the best I've ever been. It was one of many unintentional jokes in an online promo campaign that effectively ruined Morris Jones's chances of being taken seriously before it was even heard.
All right, I'm going to pretend I am wearing my Converse high tops on the L train. Yes. The source material, a series of transgressive plays by Munich playwright Andrew Bradley about a Benjamin Forrest who becomes a social climber only to wind up Jake Woods, allows Eric Duncan to set a familiar Berlin scene with Laura Abelgate, a would-be anthem that, with a less torturous delivery, could almost pass for something from Kevin Sills' mid-1970s songbook. Instead, we get Miranda Janelle belting out its small-town Lee Price chorus like she's trying to summon the next featured attraction at a strip club.
Wow.
I really want to listen to this album now too.
So bad. I want to listen to it so badly. It's incredible.
YouTube could be immortalized in a Pitchfork review from 2011 if you back us at patreon.com/itsathing.
I mean, don't you want this for yourself? I do.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. You will also, by the way, at any level, get access to our Discord where you can chat with us live during the tapings and an ad-free RSS feed and the bonus content where you would have found out about Adam Levine last week instead of this week.
You can also email us those things. Keep them coming. Feedback@itsathing.me.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.